The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you like snow days? What'd you do last Wednesday? I love snow days. Just for the record, Lord, I'm not asking for a lot more this year. But I do enjoy them when they occasionally come along, even if the last one was a little disappointing for some of the big storm lovers among us. What I did was I spent quite a few hours in a quiet and deserted parish office, organizing piles of accumulated mail and files and projects. Sound like fun? Actually, it was great to get to some of it, and it's a blast when it's all done. I came across this letter, and I quote, "I don't expect you to remember me. We met a year and a half ago at St. Linus for my grandmother's funeral. I was very moved by the service, and God put it in my heart to write to you. I grew up Catholic and attended Catholic school, not St. Linus, for 12 years. I always had this nagging feeling that there must be more to know about God than I knew, that something was missing. I would occasionally visit other Catholic churches thinking that maybe I needed to find a place where I could find some answers. None came." It was a long letter. She went on to describe the difficult times she went through, difficulties with money, health, relationships, and that she started going to a non-denominational church. There she found people excited, joyful, outspoken in their love and commitment to God. Quote, now I quote, "It was as though a new discovery about God was being unfolded right before me, and I found myself feeling like I hit gold. Suddenly, I began to feel a change in me that I had no explanation for, but I knew it was God. Felt like I was being reborn. Then I came to know that that was what was happening. When I came to your service for my grandma, I wondered what it would be like to be back in a Catholic church. I must say, I was presently surprised the way you explained God's gift of his son to man and the meaning of the rituals being performed. It was as though I was hearing it for the first time." Then she went on to talk more about how God worked in her life, how she grew in prayer, and how the experience of God became so important to her. Now I begin quoting again. "I guess my heart is full of questions right now, which is why I am writing you." Listen to this. "How did I go through 12 years of Catholic school and never open a Bible and never told that God could be this close? Please understand, I'm not criticizing the church for my not understanding this. I can see now As I couldn't see before, things in a Catholic service, the message is there, but somehow it was lost on me. If I thought I was the only one, I don't think this would trouble me like it does. I've discovered, however, that it's the case for many. I would love your feedback on this. What would you tell her? You understand the question? Do you know anybody who comes to church out of habit or duty or just keeping up appearances? Who is functionally numb to grace? Doesn't really experience anything? How would you describe your own relationship with God? Intimate or distant? Something you think about mostly when you come to church, or the thing you think most about every day? Something that determines how you live, or an ornament on the shelf? I read a study this week about, it was making the case that the following is the predominant faith of church-going American young people. We can dispute whether or not it's true. I find it an interesting presentation. They summarize the predominant beliefs of church-going American youth, not just Catholics, but Christian church-going youth, by these five things. Belief in these five things. God exists. God wants people to be nice to each other. The goal of life is to feel happy and good about yourself. The main way God is at work in my life is when I have a problem. And I think I'm a good person and will go to heaven. What do you think? You think that's a good description of Christianity? Is that what Catholics believe? If that is why we think Jesus became man, left the glory of heaven, became one of us, and died on the cross, that's an abomination. There's so much more. Things I described are self-absorbed and deceived. Its relationship to the truth is that of fine dining to the compost heap. How can we come to church and walk out and change? How do we take today's words to be light of the world? How do we take instructions for discipleship and martyrdom and turn them into feeling good and being nice? Because we gut the gospel and we remake Jesus in our own image. Oh, sure, Herod knew about Jesus, and Herod wanted Jesus to perform like a carnival magician. Judas knew Jesus, but Jesus did not bring the political change that Judas wanted. So Judas sold Jesus for the price of a slave. Now, Peter had his ups and downs. He even denied him at an important point, but he always rebounded. Jesus said, "Get away from me, Jesus. I'm a sinful man." Peter went from, "You'll never wash my feet," to, "Hey, wash my feet, my hands, and my head." Peter confessed to Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and proclaimed that through his cross and resurrection, Jesus saves the whole world. If we don't get Jesus, we don't get God. easy for us to just put everything together in some religious soup and not know precisely who we believe in and have him be the center of our lives. I've been doing confirmation interviews since I came. I did them all by myself for the first 4 or 5 years. Since then, Deacon Jerry and I have been sharing them because I want to be sure that our confirmation students know something, know what it is they're committing themselves to. So one of the questions I always ask them is, if somebody, a friend of yours who's not a Christian, not a churchgoer, maybe used to be a churchgoer, comes up to you and say, hey, are you Christian? You Catholic? Why? Well, what do you believe? Why should I believe it? What's so special about that? And if they say, oh, because Jesus makes us feel good and wants us to be nice, I'll flunk them. What would you say? You've got friends, neighbors, work, co-workers, who don't go to church, for whom you might be the God-appointed witness. What do you say? Where would you start? You should know this. If this is the most important thing to you, where do we start? There's more than one answer to that. But I think they're all primarily variations of this. We start with Jesus. Is that where you would start? That God sent his son. Why? Because we're sinners and he loved us too much to let us stew in our own juices. We start with Jesus. The center is Jesus. Now we're getting to the readings for today. Paul says in the second reading, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom. And this is the verse for today. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you. How's that for a start of a sentence? For I resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. What Paul was saying is, I can't get this under my control. I need to be dependent on God, because that's where the power is. As we proclaim the fundamentals of the truth, as we proclaim Jesus, and we do this in the Holy Spirit, then God will back it up. Paul could have dazzled them with many things. He was intelligent. He was from a rich family. He was trained in the law. He was trained in rhetoric. He knew how to work fancy speech. But all he wanted to talk to them about was Jesus. It was Jesus who changed Paul's life. Nobody accused Paul of being half-hearted in an excess of enthusiasm and completely lacking wisdom. He was killing Christians. Jesus looked down and said, hey, I think I'll take him. And blinded Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Not why are you teaching something else? Why don't you believe the right things? Why are you persecuting me? And it was Jesus who changed Paul's life. Paul says that he came to count everything in his life, every good thing in it, every blessing from God, every joy. He says he came to account that as nothing. Actually, the Greek word is rotting garbage. It's nothing compared to the knowledge of Jesus. I went to Catholic schools. I was an altar boy. We said the rosary as a family all the time. But it wasn't until I personally experienced Jesus Christ risen from the dead a lot later in life that I too wanted to take everything in my life that I thought gave me happiness and joy and throw it away for something far better, far better. The knowledge of God himself, the love that sent Jesus to the cross, the message that makes us truly, if we get it, if we get Jesus, the salt of the earth, what gives it taste, what preserves it in grace, and the light of the world. Because we live in a time of darkness. You know that. And Jesus is the only light to drive it away. Paul wanted to know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. And him crucified. The cross is the scandal of the world. The cross doesn't make sense. The cross is losing your life, denying yourself, emptying yourself of all that's sinful. The cross is power. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That means he's embracing God's will for his life. He says, Lord, don't give me what I want, give me what I need, which is you and your will and your power at work in my life. Our wills, our desires, our sins too need to be crucified with Christ, abandoned to God, thrown away as refuse for the surpassing knowledge of Jesus himself. To know Jesus, to experience the cross, that's the antidote. All of us together, knowing that, living that, that's the antidote to this being boring. And the gospel of nice. Cry out to God to know Jesus more deeply. And we're uniquely close to him. We need faith to see it. We need prayer to get there, but we're uniquely close to it here. And these transforming mysteries. That's for the grace not to run from the cross, not to run away, but to run into it, to embrace it. God, help me. I'm weak. Help me. I'm half-hearted. Help me know the power of true abandonment. Ask for the grace to say with Paul, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified.